I want to talk about two Americas. I want to tell you, first, that the poor are being left behind. Second, I want to tell you that conservatives are not trusted right now by the American people to engage this problem. And third, I want to tell you about a social justice agenda by conservatives to truly take on the poverty problem in America and redress the two Americas crisis. So let's get started. Now, I said that the poor in America are being left behind, and that's just a fact. If you look at the data, it's actually one of the most striking things about the non-recovery in the bottom half of the economy. Economists like me like to tell you that in 2014, we're going to see a slow but steady increase in GDP, about 2.5% growth. Now, that's true as far as it goes. The problem is there are actually going to be two growth rates in 2014. The top half of the American economy, 5%. That's terrific. It's fast growth. I just read that Lamborghini sales are up by 80%. Hooray! Now, the problem is that the bottom half is going to see 0% economic growth. If you look at the data on economic growth over the past 7 years, you'll find that the bottom half of the American economy has stayed stagnant or has lost purchasing power in inflation-adjusted terms every year for the past 7 years. Imagine how exhausting this is for the bottom half. We haven't seen anything like that since the Great Depression. The numbers on the top half, they look pretty good. Going back to January of 2009 until now, you see that the stock market has increased in inflation-adjusted terms by 110%. That's great. Those gains, 81% of those gains, have gone to the top 10% of the economic distribution. The top 10% richest Americans have taken away more than 80% of those gains. But what about the bottom? Well, since January of 2009, 32 million Americans who were on food stamps then have ballooned out to 48 million Americans on food stamps today, a 50% increase. One in six Americans today is so poor as to have to ask the government for help to raise his or her children and to feed him or herself. That's a scandal. Employment rates, 63% of the American workforce is employed, the lowest levels since the late 1970s, the bad old days of the Carter administration. You know, that's nothing for us to feel good about right now, especially during this time of policy that's supposed to lift the poor up. African American unemployment among teenagers, 37%. We haven't seen numbers like this in decades. We are becoming two Americas. Progressive policy since 2009 has not helped the poor getting worse off while the rich get richer. I do not begrudge the rich $1 of their gains, because this is America. But we got to do something about people in the bottom half, and the progressive policies of this administration aren't helping. What are we going to do? Well, if you ask Americans about the crisis today, they'll say, yeah, America's on the wrong track. Almost 7 in 10 Americans today say, this country's not on the right track. We have to do something different. The problem is they're not all running to a new solution. Why? Because they don't trust conservatives. They don't think that conservatives actually care about the poor. I don't want that to be true, but I have to face the facts. The Associated Press last year did a poll asking Americans, do you think that the Republican Party is compassionate? The fact that you're laughing right now is not a good sign. 16% said yes. How are you going to look like you care about ordinary people when 16% of the population thinks that your party is actually compassionate? A good UCLA study from a few years ago found that among conservative citizens, the majority feel like their leaders are somewhat heartless. You can't win when people think you don't care about them. That's got to change. Now, the first question is, why do they think that? Why do Americans think that conservatives don't care about poor people? You ask conservatives and they always say the same thing. We're getting a bad rap. The press is stacked against us. They don't like us. They're always talking about the mean things that we're doing. And it's true that when somebody says something bad about you, when the press or the other party or something says that you don't care about poor people, it's not going to look very good, but that's actually not the big problem. The problem is not what other people say about us, it's what we say. Listen to conservatives arguing about poverty. Listen to conservatives thinking about public policy, and they'll say something like this. Here's the complaint. We cannot continue to remain on this unsustainable trajectory of public spending. You've heard it a million times, right? You're poor. What do you hear? You hear, I care about money. I don't care about poverty. I don't care about you. I care about money, right? What should they say? Let's think about it. You hear people arguing sometimes, right? Anytime you hear two people arguing, notice who's getting the better part of the argument and who's getting the worst part. The side that's losing is always fighting against things. The side that's winning is always fighting for people. And that's the secret. It's time to stop fighting against things. Here's what conservatives do. Here's the value proposition of too many conservative politicians. If you elect me, I'm going to fight against government spending, deficit, debt, the size of government, and regulation. Right? The big evil five for conservatives. I'm going to fight against all these things, right? It's time to give that up. I mean, look, I have a PhD in that product line of fighting against those things. I'm against runaway government spending. So are you. But that's not going to win. And it's not going to win because it's not actually fighting for people. It's time for conservative politicians and people of good faith to say, I'm going to fight for you and your family with conservative policies, whether you vote for me or not. And actually mean it. Because fighting for people is the reason we're in the movement. It's the reason I'm in the free enterprise movement. I don't come from this background. I didn't come from a family that's conservative or Republican or business-oriented at all. No. I come from a family that thought a lot of the reverse on the topics that we're talking about tonight. But I started doing a lot of reading about what actually helps poor people. And what did I find? I found that the free enterprise system has lifted more people out of poverty than any other system in history. Billions of people are not poor today because of your American free enterprise system that spread around the world after 1970. I want to fight for that. I want to do more of that. But instead, the movement is just frittering it away. This opportunity is leaving, and people are listening to contrary ideas simply because it looks like we don't care. It's time to start fighting for people. And then here's the catch. Then we got to back it up. Then we got to have good policies. Then we have to have ideas that will actually work to lift up the bottom half. Forget bringing down the top. Let's lift up the bottom. But we have to have ideas on how. Now, here's where it gets interesting. When you're in the world of scholarship, like me, when you're in academia or think tanks, it's remarkable how little we understand what actually helps poor people. We have theories of people in poverty all the time, right? I remember I had one of my best friends when I was teaching at Syracuse University. He had done his doctoral work. He'd written his dissertation on poverty, on how to help poor people. And he was working at a large Midwestern university, writing his dissertation in the Poverty Research Center with the big marble pillars, right? And he's in there in complete silence with all his colleagues, you know, typing away on his dissertation, how to help poor people, right? And one afternoon, an actual poor guy walks in, right? And nobody knows what to do. See, it turns out that it's a man on the street. He says Poverty Research Center. He says, hey, maybe I can get help paying my rent, right? So he walks in, and people are just baffled. You know, like, call security. Nobody knows what to do with an actual poor person. That's a problem. It's time for us, who are scholars, to go into communities where people are lifting themselves out of poverty, and that's what we're doing. That's what we're doing in our work these days. And it's very interesting talking to people who've rebuilt their lives, people who started out poor and have lifted themselves up, and asking, what do you need? What policies do you need? What cultural change do you need? And they say a lot of the same things over and over again. They talk about the necessity of personal moral transformation, of getting their lives in order. They talk about the necessity of a safety net that's reliable, that includes a safety net from the government, which is something I believe conservatives should fight for and work to defend with a solvent economy. But most of all, they talk about hope. See, this is what's lacking in the lives of poor people, the belief that if I work hard and play by the rules, I can actually get ahead. The truth is, that fear is well-founded. If you look at the data, economic mobility in this country has been declining since the 1980s. It's declined by at least a third since the 1980s. The deck is stacked against poor people more and more. And they say, we must have hope. So, you know what we need? You know what the social justice agenda is for conservatives today? It's a hope agenda. And a hope agenda has three parts: work, entrepreneurship, and education. Let's start with work. You hear it all the time. To bring America back, we need jobs, jobs, jobs. All the politicians talk about jobs. But jobs aren't really it. It's the sanctification of work. It's the fact that work is a blessing to give people's lives value so that they can create value in the lives of other people. And you know it, and I know it. You know what the greatest threat to that is today, besides meddling government and the nanny state and an overregulated economy? It's a culture that says, you better not have a dead-end job. You hear about dead-end jobs all the time. The problem with Walmart, they create dead-end jobs. The problem with McDonald's, dead-end jobs. Better go to college, because if you don't, you'll get a dead-end job. You hear that from government. You hear that from leaders. You hear that on TV. Dead-end jobs? Really? How many of you started out in dead-end jobs? Me too. I started out making pizzas. Ended up okay for me. Ended up okay for you. The truth of the matter is, there aren't any dead-end jobs. Look, we got to find ways to make work pay. We have to find better policies to make sure that poor people who work hard and play by the rules can actually get ahead. But the idea of telling people they're working in dead-end jobs when people aren't working at all and that welfare is somehow better, you know that's wrong, and we have to fight. The second is entrepreneurship. Now, conservatives love to talk about entrepreneurs. The American heroes, you know, look around. Everything was built by entrepreneurs. This is our gift to the world, right? The trouble is we've forgotten what it really means. See, entrepreneurship isn't starting a massive business. Entrepreneurship is the enterprise of building your life. It's the dignified endeavor of building your life bespoke the way you see fit. Now, I hear Republican politicians talk about this all the time. They tell the story. You know, I met a guy in New Hampshire, and he started a sandwich shop, and he was kind of down and out, and he put all his money into it, and he dropped out of school, but he worked really hard, and then, then he made $1 billion. That's always the punchline, $1 billion, right? That's not the punchline. That's not the point of entrepreneurship. The point is, and then he supported himself. And then he supported his family. And then he was independent. And then he looked at his life and said, I built that. That's entrepreneurship. That's the American dream. That's what your ancestors came to America to see. They weren't steaming into New York Harbor saying, thank God I'm in America where I can finally get a better system of forced income redistribution. No. They said, here I can build my life. Here I can do it my way. That's what we need to remember. The last, it's education. It's the civil rights struggle of our time. You know, think where we are. We're in the capital of the greatest city, of the greatest country in the history of the world. Think what it means to be poor in the public schools in Washington, D.C. Washington, D.C. spends $21,000 per year per kid here. And what do we get? What percentage of eighth graders in the Washington, D.C. public schools read at national grade level? 18%. That's what we get for 21 grand a year per kid. And it's not about the money. Hey, just tell me the number. Tell me the number to get excellent kids that lift the poor out of poverty, that get them ready for the workforce where they can build their lives. Is it 36,000? Is it 92,000? Is it 114? Fill in the blank, man. We're a rich country. You know we'll pay it. It's not about the money. You can flush the money down the toilet all day long and it's not going to get better because the problem is that we have a public school infrastructure in this country that serves adults, not kids. If I ran my business that way, the market would hunt me down and kill me like a dog. You know it's true. Great companies, they have two things in common, choice and innovation. Every great company, for-profit, non-profit, choice and innovation. That means giving people what they want and need and doing it bigger, better, stronger, faster, and cheaper. Choice and innovation. Those are the two things that we miss because of the way that we've structured our public education system. And who pays? Not my kids. Poor kids. The bottom 25% of the income distribution that's systematically being denied their civil rights because we don't have the intestinal fortitude to take on the entrenched interests that hold the poor down. If you believe in the civil rights struggle that made this country exceptional and great, you got to get in the fight on this again today. Because this is the civil rights struggle of our time. So where are we? The first thing I told you is the poor are being left behind. You can't find data that contradict this. Are the poor actually okay? They're not. The last 5 years of predominantly progressive policy in this country have left the poor further behind and have been almost a plutocratic tour de force in making the rich richer. Two, people don't trust us. People don't trust us to solve this problem. People don't trust conservatives. And the reason is because of what we say. Because we're not fighting enough for people. So number three, let's fight for people. And let's do it with a hope agenda, with a true social justice agenda based on work and entrepreneurship and based on education reform. Now, if we do these things, we can really transform this country. And it's not just about politics. Because look, you're like me. You're in the movement because you want to fight for people. Who cares which party wins? We just got to make sure that the poor don't lose. Because if we do, poor people lose. Then we'll be the generation that pull the ladder up behind us, and that's not morally permissible. The struggle of our time is to make sure that that is not true. So here's what I leave you with. The question is not, are you angry enough to fight for better policy? I know you are. So am I. I wake up every morning fighting mad about all the mistakes we've been making in public policy in this country. I'm the president of the American Enterprise Institute. I want to fight because I'm mad. But that's not the point. I'm mad, so are you. The question is not if you're mad enough to fight for change. The question is, do you have enough love on your heart for everybody to fight for change? See, what leaders and patriots do is they fight for the weak, no matter how the weak vote. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they like the other guys. You gotta fight for them, because that's what leaders do. Do you have enough love written on your heart for everybody to get in the fight? If you do, this country can win for the poor. This country can deliver on its promises. This country, once again, can be a beacon of hope for everybody, whether they're coming here as immigrants, whether they're not even here yet, but they're Americans in their hearts, or whether they've been here for a long time, but they've been left behind. We are the generation that can make this occur. We can pass this on to people who are younger than us, and they can be the heroes. They can be deputized to the heroic activity that is the patrimony left to us by the great founders of this nation. I urge you to join us, and I thank you so much for being in this fight. God bless you.
Hi, I'm Arthur Brooks. Thanks for watching. We'd love to hear your ideas about fighting poverty, so tell us in the comments below. Then, please help us spread the word by sharing this video. For more Vision Talks, click the subscribe button and visit our website at thepursuitofhappiness.com.